Good evening.
Good evening.
Hallelujah. Well, as always, it's so good to come out those classes.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we're at this school. We come to receive from apostolic ministry so we can function from apostolic grace. So, Father, we thank you tonight for our apostle once again, for you putting it in his heart to establish this school, that we not only may see the anointing come upon him, but we can learn from watching his example of his dedication to you. So we thank you for this school. We thank you for the impact that it's having upon our personal lives and the lives of everyone who is connected to us. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. He's really the true teacher. None greater than him. Why? He know all things. The Bible say, yea, he searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing unto us revelation knowledge that we may function and live from. We're appreciative of it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Catching the waves of revival. Last week, we said revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire on the earth. Actually, what revival does, now y'all understand that God doesn't need to be revived. You know, I've been around a little bit, and I remember always going to these revivals, but nothing changed. God wore out. We had 21-day revivals. Fasted 21 days, 3 days, no food, no water. I was brought up hard in the church. Amen. But I can say this, the people love God. Amen. The power showed up and they got results. Amen. I'm telling you the truth, but revival doesn't move God. See? The purpose of revival is not to move God. The purpose of revival is to put us in a position to receive from him. All right. So revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire on the earth. We said that fire in the scriptures is a what? Purifying agent. Remember John the Baptist, when he talked about Jesus, he said, there's one who's coming after me, who's preferred before me. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. He shall baptize you with the what? Holy Ghost and with fire. And the purpose of that fire is to what? Purify, to cleanse. We said last week, you take gold. Gold is a very precious metal. But in order to get the impurities out, it's got to be put in the fiery furnace. Amen? All right. In order for heaven's fire to touch earth, we must understand, number one, we said what? God's heaven to earth government. See, God has established, see how God ties stuff in. As Apostle in our previous class was talking about how that prayer is a what? Legal process, right?
Yeah.
Right? And so whenever you're dealing in legal things, the one who know most about the legal system gonna win. Because even a crook can get off if he got a good lawyer, right? Because the crook lawyer know how to crook the system. So justice ain't really justice. It's really injustice. Because if I'm your lawyer and you the crook, you need to go to another. Let me stop it. That's why he didn't go to law school. But I mean, you think about it. You're going to go represent somebody you know, a mass murderer, and took out all these people. You sitting up there knowing he did it. No, your conscience ought to tell you something. You need to find you another lawyer. But if they got 3 mil on the line, you know. All right. You know. But the reason for saying that is that, see, we're dealing with a legal process. Whenever you hear the word government, you're talking about something that's what? You're dealing with legal stuff. So the Bible says we must understand God's heaven to earth what? Government, because now you're working in a legal arena. Satan ain't paying attention, everybody. Because watch this, you can't have authority unless you're under authority.
Amen.
Huh? That's legal. You understand? And so in order for us to function in God's heaven to earth government, we got to understand, you know, God's government in the earth realm. Now, God's heaven to earth government, which is designed to what? Usher in the kingdom of God and bring all things back to God's original plan. So that's really what we're dealing with. God is bringing us back to his original plan. God's heaven to earth government is rooted in the fivefold ministry gifts he placed in the earth. That's where God's government is. We talked about that last week. You know, Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body, right? The body receives all of its nourishment from the head. Whenever you deal with the head, you're dealing with what? Authority. All right. But Jesus being the head of the church, watch this. He gave gifts, governmental gifts, to make sure that the body is in divine alignment so that God's assignment can be accomplished in the earth realm. Y'all understand that? So Jesus being the head of the church gave five ministry gifts: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. We told you last week that all of those ministry gifts represented the ministry of Jesus in the earth realm, because Jesus stood in all fivefold ministry offices, but he gave some to be. It's a good thing he gave some to be. Amen. Because watch this. Now we are interdependent. Right. So we don't get full of pride and just become independent. You understand that? So it takes all fivefold ministry gifts functioning, watch this, as one in order to make God's government powerful in the earth realm. That's when we're going to see true revival. All right. Now, then secondly, I said we must also recognize the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Not only must you, we're talking about revival now. All right. We're talking about revival. We'll talk, get to the definition in a second, because revival have more to do with you. God don't need to be revived. He ain't never dead. All right. So secondly, we must recognize the person and work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of burning. Right. And, you know, we just read where it say you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. So that's why I believe that in this season, God raised up an apostle who has a very intense prayer life. But now he's just teaching us some things. It's one thing to be intense, but you can be intensely wrong. Right. Not praying properly, not praying legally, not, or put it this way, not knowing what to do with what you got. All right. Now, praying in the spirit is the key to supernatural revival. Because in praying in the spirit, God talks to you. Watch this, about what he won't do. Right. God talks to you about what? What he wants to do in the earth realm. All right. Now, God cannot reveal himself unless men and women prepare themselves in accordance with God's revealed word. So in other words, there can be no true revival without preparation. Every time you go through the Bible and you see God doing things in the earth realm, he used a man. The Bible saying Noah found grace in God's sight. The entire world was wicked. Amen. The Bible say all the thoughts of a man's imagination was only evil continuously. But Noah found grace in God's sight. Are you listening? So God was able to use Noah, watch this, to save his generation. Why? Because he heard from God. He did things legally and rightly. He built the ark according to the specifications that God gave him. If you deviate from the specification, something ain't gonna go right. That's legal. See, I mean, if you know anything about, I mean, we look at all the property that God has given an apostle. But when you start erecting buildings, you got some folk got to come do some inspection out here. And if you don't do stuff, you can go ahead and spend $1 million and put up a building. Just throw your, put your million out there. Just don't talk to nobody. Just go ahead and throw the building up. They can come there, shut you down, make you tear it down. And say, it can, I have a church right down the street from it right now. That church was built before Katrina. They can't touch it because they didn't go through the process legally. All right. Apostle said a mouthful. Now, we have to understand right now we are in the midst of one of the greatest revivals to hit the Western Hemisphere. Now, if you haven't been around the church long, you don't have no concept what I'm talking about, because the church has been full of religion and tradition with no power. Are you listening? But and the church in the Western Hemisphere knows very little about apostolic ministry. I'm not talking about apostolic religion, where you can't wear pants and you can't wear makeup and you can't wear jewelry. That's not apostolic. That's man's mind trying to earn something with God. But when we say apostolic, and when apostle talks about the apostolic, he's talking about God's heaven and earth government, which begins with the first gift that Jesus sent into the church. He trained 12 apostles. Jesus, watch this, turned this whole world, I want to say right side up. I know we say upside down, but right side up, you know. Those 12 men literally revolutionized things in their generation. Amen. Because they were being trained for apostolic ministry. And now, the calling card for true revival is signs, wonders, and miracles. That's the calling card. Jesus didn't have no flyers. Y'all kind of quiet. Jesus didn't have a website. Jesus didn't have Instagram and Facebook. What did Jesus have? What did Jesus possess? Jesus went around doing signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles will cause multitudes to come out and see what's going on. Every place Jesus went, he ministered to multitudes of people. Why? Because the people saw the miracles that he done on other people. And when you see somebody performing miracles on other people, you gonna go find some people you know that need that. Amen. Now watch what I'm saying. That's what 2016 gonna be about. You talking about some dominion, some dominating. That's exactly what's going down right now. That's why God is giving all this information to apostle, because true revival is rooted in signs, wonders, and miracles. Nicodemus, St. John chapter 3, you read all that. St. John chapter 3, read the third chapter of St. John. And Nicodemus was a ruler. He was a ruler. He was a ruler. He was a man in authority. But he, being a man in authority, said, my rulers and my leaders have religion, but there's something different about you. Hallelujah. Now watch what he said. He said, no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. That's what drew Nicodemus to come by night. He said, look, my rulers can't handle this, but I got to go sneak away and get some of this. So what's going to be the calling card in our generation? The same thing that was in back to God's original plan. When you study Matthew 10, Luke chapter 10, Jesus gave his apostles authority. What did he give them authority to do? Not pray for the sick. See, that's not revival. We got a bunch of prayer groups that we send to the hospital and say, go pray for them. No, Jesus, the apostolic ministry is go heal the sick, go cast out devils, go cleanse the leper, go raise the dead, go cause the lame to walk, go cause the blind to see, go cause the deaf to hear, go cause the dumb to speak. When those things are in manifestation, true revival shall come. Y'all got it? So that's what's happening. Now, this is in the introduction, you read it. Revival is not a sovereign act of God, but rather the outpouring of God's Spirit in response to those who are hungering and thirsting for the manifestation of the kingdom of God. I'll read that again. Revival is not a sovereign act of God. God just don't come in and do revival. But revival is the outpouring of God's Spirit in response to those who are what? Hungering, and those who are thirsting for the manifestation of the kingdom of God. What did Jesus tell his disciples or apostles to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is his next statement? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. That's apostolic. Not trying to train you to go to heaven, but teaching you to bring heaven to the earth. Thy kingdom come. Where's the kingdom at? Jesus said the kingdom is not here. The kingdom is not there. Lo, the kingdom of God is within you. So if the kingdom of God is within us, we must learn how to release it upon those who are around us. See, there's a difference. Now, see, Apostle, when he was talking, see, if you are walking in those things, you can relate to him. Because, see, I went to a shop and my wife and I were out. A young lady was in the store. Well, you know, men, we don't like to shop anyway. All right, men, y'all let me hang out there. All right, on the internet, I hear y'all cheering. You know, I mean, you know, we just don't. When we go in, we ready. Y'all got to... How this look, baby? Come on. Y'all know I ain't lying. Baby, we're only gonna be about 20 minutes. 3 hours later. The game off and everything else. All right. Come on, let's get back. All right. Well, where was I? Rewind me. Ain't nobody. Huh? What was the pastor talking about earlier? See, I need to cut that out. He was talking about prayer. He was talking about prayer. See. Oh, no, I know what I was telling you about. I was about to tell you about this young lady. Yeah, see, I can understand what apostle is talking about. That's it. See, watch this. When you understand who you are, when you go into a place, huh? And somebody got an issue, you don't have time to pray. You need to know what you sent to do. See, and then you can tell people things in the midst of a store with everybody looking at you like you're crazy. See, because I was shopping and a young lady was depressed. So, you know, when you walk into a store, their first question to you is, how are you? I say, I'm doing wonderful. I said, how are you? She say, okay. I say, you just doing okay? She said, yeah. I said, okay. I said, and I could tell something was really bothering her. So I stood there and talked to her. I ministered the word to her. You ready for this? I looked at her in front of her supervisor and all the other salesmen. I say, when I walk out of this place, whatever on you, I'm taking it off you.
Wow.
See that? See, I'm trying to show you how revival started. I say, whatever on you, I'm taking it off of you. I'm walking out of that door. My wife said, don't bring it home. Well, you know, y'all had to see that. But you know, it was a joke. She was being comical. But watch this. I told that young lady that she broke down in that store crying. You ready for this? She was walking around helping another young lady. You can see that joy came on her. I say, it's gone, isn't it? She said, yes. Then sent me an email. Because yes. See, we have to manifest the kingdom. Revival is if a person don't have no hope, you bring it to them. You understand that? They think life is going to beat them up. True revival is you light the fire up on them. You do something. What's in your, I like that Capital One commercial. What's in your wallet? I like St. John 14. What's in your room? I know a lot of y'all don't believe it, but there ain't no mansions in heaven. Oh, Lord, y'all going to get mad with me now. Because Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms, many mansions. Huh? Well, the Father's house is not in heaven. We are God's house. We are God's building. All of us make up the many rooms and the mansion of God. So that when people come to our room, what's in our room that they can get and leave out with. But if your mind is on going to heaven and finding a mansion, you can't ever manifest. Watch this. See, in my Father's house. Well, why you think the Father's house is heaven? Because somebody preached that to you. Because they didn't do no research. You are the house that God built for a habitation by the Spirit. There you, that's the kingdom in you. So what's in your wallet? Amen. That's why you can't be broke and preach this. Because behind every government, there's money. All right, come on, let me go through this. So revival is not a sovereign act of God, but rather the outpouring of God's Spirit in response to those who are hungering and thirsting for the manifestation of the kingdom of God. The religion can't produce that. So that's why Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as in the earth. All right. In this generation, we must be a people who know the times and the seasons of God and what we must do in these times. See, that's true revival. Knowing what to do. Now we come here tonight and we find out how to advance our prayer lives by getting off of the battlefield with the Lord. Y'all know we made a song out of it. I'm on the battlefield. Don't act like you didn't hear that song. I heard that song hollering so loud. I said, oh, Lord, I'm on the battlefield with my Lord. The Lord ain't on the battlefield. We going to the courtroom where you at. Amen. Amen. Now that means something, because you want true revival. Go get the subpoena first. Now, we have a leader with such an apostolic and prophetic mantle and insight. That's the thing that's going to cause revival. Revelation knowledge. So we go into chapter 1. Revival is a divine attack on society. What is revival? A divine attack on society. What does that mean? Society, for example, here we go. Society want to tell you that men are born women and women are born men. Society wants to tell you that it's all right for a man and a man to marry and a woman to marry. That's society. It creeps into the church because we become people sensitive. But in heaven, the earth assignment, God only joined male and female. So we can't do, y'all, it's an attack on society. In other words, Oprah, Judge Judy, Judge Mathis, because see, we have these high profile people that try to make you believe the church is archaic. And we don't know, you know, we're trying to oppress people. No, the truth is not oppression, it's freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth should make you free. All right, then. But if you want to gravitate with what the society is doing, you can never advance the kingdom. You got it? So revival is seen as an attack on society. Now, that don't mean you have to be mean-spirited. It just simply means you're going to bring things back to divine alignment. For example, divorce is high today. I mean, people putting people away for everything in the church. Now y'all quiet now. In the church. In the church. We got tryouts. You want to try out before you get married and quit in the marriage. Then, see, in Jesus' time, they came to Jesus and say, now Jesus, Moses permitted us to write a bill of divorcement. Society. What I said? Society. But Jesus stopped them and said, you're blaming Moses, but Moses gave you permission to divorce because of the hardness of your heart. Watch this now. But in the beginning, in God's original plan, it was not so. Y'all got it? So we cannot, in this area of revival, we cannot compromise God's principles to appease humanistic people. The salt, we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savor, where will the earth be salted? Salt is a preservative. You understand that? So if we don't walk in what God tell us, we'll lose ground. But that's all right. God always got an army out here. Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, let's go on. It's an attack. Christians who learn from revival history will more than likely be compelled to repeat it. Christians who learn from revival history will more than likely be compelled to what? Now y'all know that's the truth. Lessons you don't learn, you repeat. Y'all ready for this? You can flip that. Lessons you learn, you can repeat too. That's called training. Y'all got it? Now, we cannot boldly go where no man is gone, except we know where we really are and where we have come from. So the first law in reading the map is knowing where you are. All right. Can I put it this way? What is God saying now? What is God saying now? Not what Mormon did and Paul and all the rest of the people. Revival is now. What is God saying now? God is saying now what I'm doing is I'm restoring my church back to my original plan. I'm raising up apostolic gifts. Watch this. When Jesus came, they were the first gift given. He trained 12 men. They became apostles. In Acts chapter number 13 or in the book of Acts, when you study early church, the next gift you see functioning is prophets. Then after that, teachers. See, Jesus gave gifts. God said, all right, you have diamonds. Diamonds don't do you no good till you put them in a setting. Setting, it's called a setting. See, diamonds, setting. You understand? The diamonds got to have a setting. So Jesus gave gifts, God set. Jesus gave, God set. And he set them in the order in which it would build the church. So apostles and prophets are foundational gifts. That's why they walked on. Oh, that's not a bad statement. See, because when I say walked on, if you mind wrong, you think somebody walking all over them. You can walk all over an apostle. He can handle it. Because he was built to walk on. He's not going to get offended because you mad. He got something in him. He is a governmental gift. Watch, when apostles and prophets show up, they're interested in one thing. What does heaven say? They don't have the Saul spirit listening to the people. That's why we don't have voting ministries. What color the carpet going to be? The color I like. Not your mom. Y'all forgive me. I'm just a little ghetto. All right. We're talking about apostolic ministry. So apostles. So when Jesus built the church, he built it how God said. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, he said, helps governments. I mean, you just read the Bible. Yeah. Yeah, this happened every week. I need to do better. I got a few minutes now. Just don't let me go past my time, right? Signal me when I got 2 minutes left. Now. All right. So we have to know where we are. It's my point. If you got to know where you are. The closest biblical word to revival is revive from the Hebrew word chaya. It's the best I can do. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. But it means to live, it means to nourish up, It means to preserve alive. It means to quicken. It means to restore. It means to save alive. And it also means to make whole. That's what revival is all about. Y'all got it? It means to live. It means to nourish up. It means to preserve alive. It means to quicken. It means to restore. It means to save alive. And it means to make whole. So we have examples of that in the Bible. And